Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you joined me tonight. I have a special guest tonight. Her name is Linda Fries. She's a very, very, very close friend, somebody that I trust a lot, and somebody that I know has spent a good majority of her life, first of all, as a wife and mom, but secondly, in an endeavor to understand how we can make ourselves not just healthier, but actually happier. There are lots of things out there, and I've talked about this before, that are mood-altering. There are a lot of chemicals in the food we consume today. And since we live in a world of fast food, it's really gotten to be kind of an epidemic. And if your child has the system of a bowl, then you probably don't notice anything going on. But if they are sensitive, if they have allergies, if they already are, under some stress because of other things, like, say, asthma. There's a good one. Asthma is so compounded by the food and the nutrition that your child gets. But there's lots of other things as well. And, of course, we know fresh is always better. Without chemicals is always better. But a lot of people are very, very confused about what that means. And I think a lot of people are a little bit scared because in the world we live in today, moms and dads almost always work. Sometimes moms work the longest hours. So trying to feed your family and do it with their health in mind sometimes just doesn't work into the hours that are in a day. So I think Linda will be able to help you a little bit. I've watched her prepare dishes. I remember when I first got to know her, she made some dishes in a special class that you could use to do facials with. So she has a lot of little secrets, a lot of things that she's experimented with and knows what's good for you, what isn't good for you. You are welcome to call and ask questions. I don't think you'll stump her, but if you do, chances are she'll find out the answer. So she is here now, as well as Shelley. So I'm going to invite them in, and I hope everybody gets as much information as they can tonight. Hi, Miss Linda. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Renee. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Yes, I think it'll be great. Hi, Miss Shelley. Welcome back.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
It's good to hear your voice, Linda.
You too. You too, Shelley. You guys make me laugh because my little grandson, who's 3 years old, he just is the cutest little thing, and he always goes, "Hey, guys. Come on, guys. Hi, guys." He reminded me of him when you said that.
Yes. My nephew does the same thing. I think that's where I get it from.
I think I do, too. I do, too, because my AJ always says that. Come on, guys, let's do this. Come on, guys. So it is a part of their vernacular, I think, that guys thing.
Yeah.
Which makes us happy because that means they're not noticing the girls yet, so that could be a good thing.
Exactly.
That's pretty funny.
Renee. I'm glad that you thought of doing this tonight.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, and we have talked about it, and I don't give a lot of information on it, even though I guess I know quite a bit about what's good and what's bad, but it's not been my forte. And you love it, and it shows that you love it, and you've done a lot of work with nutrition, and I think that people need to understand that if they have a child, especially a very young child, that is difficult to deal with, hard to handle, major mood swings, maybe anger issues and things like that, it is not so far-fetched to find out that their nutrition has a lot to do with that. So I'm going to let you take it from there. And then if questions come in, we'll bring them in. If not, I think Shelley and I can will have several questions that we can discuss openly.
Great. Well, I listened to your introduction, and you were right on with all of that. And it's true, what we eat, what we feed our kids has such a huge impact on us. And we don't even really think about it because we're so used to putting anything in our mouths. But I do believe we're getting a little bit more sensitive in many ways to the food that we're eating, and we're developing allergies or sensitivities, because allergies, medically speaking, can be, okay, my lips are swelling up, I'm breaking out in hives, I've got this problem and I can't breathe, whether it be from pollen or from peanuts. But allergies also can mean, in this sense, a sensitivity too, whereas you might not be having these physical symptoms that are showing physically, but your body's not adapting to this. It's not adapting to the dyes and the toxins and the salts and the GMOs and all of these different things that our bodies aren't meant to process and that have just come into our lives in the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So it brings our immune system down, it weakens the body, it has different effects, and more we're seeing these studies where all of these food additives and these non-foods that are in our diet now and in our foods, they're really making kids are more sensitive. My oldest grandson, who's 13, now has a nut allergy. He's developed that, and we're thinking, where did that come from? No one else in our anywhere family has anything like that. But then I was reading a report where so many more kids now have become allergic to nuts because of possibly the GMO connection, possibly because of all of these different things that are in our diet right now. So I would say that for people dealing with a child who has some attitude issues or some of these sensitivities, first thing would be to look at the diet. I mean, I can't judge anybody or say anything to someone who thinks they eventually might need a temporary medical response to this or something maybe stronger, because there are some much stronger cases. But in general, first step should be, let's look at your diet, your child's diet.
Well, I think most people understand today. They don't understand everything, and they certainly don't understand things like GMOs, and they don't understand all the chemical sensitivities. But I do think through trial and error, they understand sugar.
Yes, that's one of the first
ones. To a
right,
big
when we
degree.
Say for our kids, it's a birthday party. Everybody's had cake with, blue frosting. All the kids' tongues are blue, and they're bouncing off the ceiling, and they're fighting with each other, and they're breaking down in tears. And it's like, all right, that might be that funky little cake that everybody's just picked out on.
That's right. That's right.
I will interject one thing about that, though, guys. I think that most people do understand that sugar can have almost an immediate, effect on kids, where it makes them hyper and it makes them a little unruly and stuff. But what people don't understand is how many products out there have excessive amounts of sugar in them that you, it's like a hidden ingredient. It's like in food that you wouldn't even expect to have sugar. I think that's what parents and caretakers aren't aware of, and they're loading the kids up with sugar even when they don't know they are, and that can play a role in their behavior.
Exactly, and sugar is really the basic, like you're both saying, sugar is the basic and the first most common thing that we can look at. We can talk about other things after this, but sugar being the one, and for example, you can look in a lunchbox for a child, and the moms and dads think they're doing pretty good and feeding the kids good stuff, and if we can look at this lunchbox, let's see. You have a sandwich, okay, so the sandwich, that's good. You've got a sandwich in there, and if it's just plain old bread, well, you've got some, sugars through the carbs. But then you have a pot of yogurt that's not a natural yogurt, so you probably have about 14 or 10 grams of sugar in that. Then you have two cookies because the child gets to have some dessert, so you've got maybe another 20 or 15 grams of sugar there. Two little jars of juice, those little boxes of juice, and you've got another 20 there. And so by the time the child's had its lunch, even though it looks like it's good stuff, and a fruit cup maybe, these are all good things, and you've got 60, 70 grams of sugar by the time the child's done eating. And we have to really be vigilant and look at the labels, too, to see it, or else counteract that with certain proteins to make sure that it's, or slow-released sugars, you know, complex carbohydrates, so that they have a kind of a slower peak of sugars, that they're not, you know, jumping straight up and then crashing within 20 or 30 minutes, you know.
Right,
so these are
right.
things that people can start looking into to make different choices for the kids' schools, lunchboxes, and also I think even in cafeterias, some schools are starting to really come around and offer better choices to kids too, which that's encouraging.
Well, I don't know if that's really true. I think we do a lot of talking about that, but I know that the teachers in elementary school do not assist, nor do the lunch ladies assist the children in their choices. So if you send your little boy or little girl through the lunch line, they get to pick whatever they want. And sometimes that means, you know, that they take a yogurt and a pudding and two cookies and maybe a hot dog.
Right. Oh, my gosh, yeah, it's still like that then.
It's not that old-fashioned tray, you know, that used to come out even back when we were all kids, that had a vegetable and a starch and a protein on the plate.
So now they're choosing, okay, it's been a while. My kids are kind of older now, and I haven't been to a cafeteria, but I was, you know, I've just, from what I was hearing, the changes in different schools, then I guess that might not be the majority, though.
No, not in your public schools. I think some of your private schools are doing a little bit better. I mean, they're still, in most of the high schools, there's still soda machines. And in elementary school, kids still get rewarded with candy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, my one granddaughter, Emily, who is 10, every day would bring home a bag of Skittles.
I'm wondering how they can do that without even going through the parents. And Skittles, that's got plastic on it. That's got polyurethane plastic on it, you know. And,
yeah, the glaze is awful.
And beads, some type of cockroach glue type of a. There's insects that have been ground up for some of these things, too, I know, that create the hardness of certain candies. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
it's hard. And once your kids do leave home, that's when it gets tricky, because I think we can have a nice control over them when they're little and up to 3 and 4 and 5 years old when they're at home. But then when they go off, that's when the challenge starts. And what I'm finding is, because of working at Hippocrates and being in that type of a crowd, I've met a lot of really amazing young moms who are bringing up their kids on a healthy diet, and quite often raw as much as possible, and vegan or vegetarian. And what I'm finding so encouraging for this, and obviously the parents have to be educated on this, but they're teaching their kids so young to make their choices so that when they do go out, they can ask. For example, one mom that I know, her little boy was going to daycare, and just like you say, Rini, that the teacher was giving the kids candy as a reward, and the little boy asked her, is this vegan candy? Vegan meaning it has no animal products in it. So, and this little boy's like only 4 or 5 years old, so it's amazing when kids are brought up from the start that way and taught that way without pressure and without all this guilt or policing, food police that I call it. The kids really at a very young age can take responsibility on their own, and I think that's really encouraging. But, my gosh, there's so much education that needs to be done. And as you say, moms and dads are working and they're so crazy busy, and it's like, let's just try to get this as fast as we can, get this meal over with in the cheapest way possible. So it's kind of sad to see, so, you know, still there, a lot of people's choices are a McDonald's meal, which is, I don't know how, cheaper than another type of meal, but it's not always easy for everybody to eat properly.
I think it's not so much about the money as it is about the time and the, you know, one of the other things that I have mentioned in several different arenas, and that is the fact that very young children have too much homework. And if mom, dad are helping with the homework, then a lot of things get, you know, skimmed on, and making dinner is going to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the I think the big thing, we will never make everybody vegans. We all know that. We will never make everybody vegetarians.
Right.
We are a world almost, I don't know what the ratio is, probably I would guess 70% of our world are meat eaters. What would you guys
say? I would think more.
No, actually, the majority of the planet is vegetarian. Ironically, you wouldn't think that, but it's true, because when you're talking about civilizations like India and China, which are massively populated, they're mostly vegetarian.
Yeah, that's true, right?
You look at the United States and you look at a lot of Europe, high meat eaters there, but when you look at the population compared to India and China, that are massive, and they're predominantly vegetarian society. So it's actually not true that most of the planet is.
I'm going to have to look that up, because I've been looking at things like that, and a lot of our Asian countries are fish eaters. And I mean, that's when I say a vegetarian, I mean, you know, somebody who doesn't consume anything that is, you know,
well,
that breathes.
Well, Mediterranean is true. Mediterranean does eat a lot of fish, and they don't eat so much chicken or beef. All right.
Right.
So, and then the Mediterranean areas, and they have exceptional health. They're doing a lot of, you know, they eat a very, very healthy, well-balanced diet, a lot of fruits and vegetables, a lot of grains. Yeah, and then some fish, and they really stay away from the chicken and the beef. But when you're talking about India and China and these large areas, they're still predominantly vegetarian. Now, you know, McDonald's and all those have made their way into these countries also, but they are still predominantly vegetarian.
Right.
Okay.
And, well, like I said, I don't see that happening in the United States of America, even though I do see people tending towards better choices when it comes to meat. I see people going towards grain-fed. I see people, you know, steering away from a hot dog, which we have always called mystery meat, or bologna, like that. But
right.
I do think if we try to scare everybody into believing the only way they're going to help their kids is by making them strict vegetarians, I don't think that's going to work at this point in time. But I do think teaching them about better choices and less candy and sugar, and things like, you know, like what we just talked about, like the Skittles, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people wouldn't know that in a million years.
Right. You know, it's interesting because, you know, on Facebook we get these pictures and whatnot, and there was this one picture a while ago about, it was pretty gross, you know, these horrible pictures we get sometimes, but it was a bulldozer in a factory, and it had this big shovel down on the ground, and there was this pile of bones that were left over from other meat packing procedures. Probably they had been stripped of all the muscles to make steak and whatnot. But and it was just this pile of bones, and this is what made the gelatin that goes into different candies. And I just sent that to my daughter, and she showed it to her 12-year-old son, and he said, okay, I'm not going to eat that kind of candy anymore. So that made an effect on him, and there are a lot of things that changed in his mind just by seeing that. I mean, sometimes things are too gross to show to our kids, but that's part of an education, depending on their age, appropriate, of what we can do to help them. And, you know, just by saying animals are our friends and whatnot, things can change in that way. But I think there's a transition period that can be done too. And again, all through my raising my kids, my oldest daughter now is 37, and my youngest son is 25 this week. And I never really was into being the food police, and I've seen kind of the opposite effect that it has when a parent's really, really strict on kids and their food and what they're eating and what they shouldn't be eating and whatnot. I think it really backfires on you. So I found that by putting things out that are good choices, offering a salad at the beginning of the meal as much as you can. Of course, you can't do this every night because we're running around like chickens most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But learn how to prepare things ahead of time as much as possible. You can make a big salad that'll last for 2 or 3 days. Just don't put your dressing on it and choose your ingredients so that it doesn't get wet and kind of juicy. And then put your juicy stuff in just before you serve it. And your dressing, but if you serve that first and then put out the meat and potatoes, if the kids are still into that or need that or want that because they're not used to other different protein substitutes. When I first came back from Hippocrates, gosh, that was, 16 or so years ago, oh, my gosh, everybody's going to eat like this at the house. And it was in February, the coldest time of the year in Quebec. And everybody's going to eat sprouts. All right. So, this is a new thing, kind of. And I remember my son, he was kind of not thriving because we were just eating salads, basically. And I saw that, he had some signs that this was not really working for him because he had not been used to alternate sources of protein, for example, nut crackers and flax crackers and nut burgers and all these different things that we learn how to make, and the bean sprouts and whatnot, all these different things we learn how to make to substitute. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to start with, beginning of the meal salad, and then he'll have his meat and his potatoes or his cooked veggies and whatnot that he's familiar with, and that seemed to be a good balance. So I think going off the deep end is not very wise at the beginning if you kind of are starting out with this. But to introduce one thing every week, something new every week, so that there's not a resistance and the kids don't, have a riot because you're taking away their Choco Puffs and whatnot. But just start changing things. And also, I think, slowly so that there's, and plus often spouses might not be right on board right away either. And if you get in there and start being the preacher, you're going to get more resistance than you expected sometimes. And just in spite of it, I think sometimes taking the kids to the grocery store with you, although at times we say, no way, I'm not bringing this kid in the grocery store because it's always a fight. Well, there's ways, I think, to get the kids involved in the grocery store. Okay, let's go in the veggie section and have some fun, maybe. I know we don't have time, but just do some things in the veggie section to get them involved. Okay, what green veggie are you going to choose today? And get them into the colors. I think colors really speak to kids. And we know that phytonutrients, the colors that are in vegetables and fruits, have a huge amount of nutritional value to the body. The oranges and the beta carotenes and the reds and the deep purples, all these things, these are antioxidants, and all these things have a huge impact on our health as well. It's not just vitamins and minerals, but it is these phytonutrients. So if we can get kids involved in the color of foods, okay, well then let's hang out in the veggie section a little bit longer and find me something red, and let's see if they, find their good apples and their strawberries, and it'll keep them really conscious of what's going into the basket. And going into other aisles in the stores, have a little game with them. Okay, is this a real food? Is this a real food? Is this, when my kids were younger, is this God's food or is this not? And that, in our sense, that meant, does this come from the nature? Does this come from a tree? Or does this come from the ground or something? And they would know the difference there as opposed to something in a box or a bag.
That's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. So, depending on your own religious affiliation, you can call it whatever you want. Is this nature's food or is this, factory food? And, how much do we want to put of nature's food or God's food in our cart today? And, let's try to eat this good type of food. And is this real color? I think kids can learn pretty young what is a real color and what is not a real color. Does this color come from somebody's chemistry set, like Gatorade or Well, I don't think we should be naming names here, but, you know, colored fruit sports drinks, for example, and things that have artificial colors, I think kids at a fairly early age can understand that so that they can make a better choice. Okay, is this a fruit juice or is this a not, you know, a chemical type of a juice without calling it chemical? There are ways to help the kids understand that. So getting them involved, I think, is the first thing towards transforming and changing habits and attitudes, and give it time. You know, it can take, you know, months or a couple of years, and over time things do change. But I just think towards, you know, going back towards, you know, the focus of your show, Renee, being attitudes and moods and the way we tolerate each other and the way we react to each other, I just think a child or even an adult or any human being who has this kind of skewed electrical impulse in their body because of an overdose of sugar or because of dyes that are showing that, you know, red and yellow and blue dyes that are showing to be an allergic response and are making kids sometimes just off the wall, you know, hyper needing, you know, they're putting them on drugs now because of this. And all of these things can help children calm down. It can help children have a better response towards other people in their classroom, towards their parents, towards their siblings. Same thing for us adults. The more that we nourish our body with these foods that nourish our brain as well, calms us down, then we can have a much better response to our world around us. And I think that's a really good start right there.
Well, and I go ahead, Chell.
Well, one of the things I was going to say, and I think your information is right on target. But one of the things is that when you try to look at all or nothing, that's where a lot of people dig their heels in, and it's too overwhelming. So
exactly.
I agree with what you said about, you know, to try one thing at a time. Have maybe one night a week, have a vegetarian night. One of my friends did this, and it worked really well for them. They weren't interested in becoming vegetarian, but what they wanted to do is that they wanted to experiment with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is that on those nights, they actually felt better. So they actually increased it to three nights a week. They did vegetarian meals, and then the rest of the time they were having meat. But when they went back to the meat, they found that they wanted lighter meals when they did do their regular meal. So it even benefited them when they went back to their regular meat eating evenings. They were having a better variety, a better choice of meals with it. And sometimes that's the easiest way to do it. Just try one thing, change one thing here or there. You know, you don't have to change your entire lifestyle. Make little changes. Get the sugar out. Get the preservatives out. Make some little change.
Are you there, Shelley?
If the ingredient panel goes on for a paragraph, you probably don't want to feed that to your kids.
Exactly. And now they're coming out with this, with the knowledge that red dye is a very nasty, not a stimulant, but it aggresses the immune system.
It just
aggresses the allergic response. And kids, the response they're getting from, there's like nine different food dyes now it's for a long time, that the U.S. can put into their foods. The FDA refuses to put any warning signals on any of the foods that dyes
can, I know,
artificial dyes. Although in Europe, they do. Even American companies, which I find abhorrent, the American companies here in the United States, like the big ones, I won't name them, they keep the dyes in our food here, but in Europe, where they are outlawed, the same companies with the same products do not have dyes, artificial dyes, in them. Why can't they do that here? I don't get it. I just do not get it. But, you know, kids are being put on some powerful drugs and I saw one nice, you know, report about a child who they just did one thing, like we were just talking about, Shelley. Just try one thing for starters, just an easy thing, and remove one thing. And don't necessarily just remove it so that there's nothing to replace it with, because then people freak out too. We all do that. But what can we do in place of? What can we replace it with? So the child was taken off all dyes, and you know, she was off medication within a couple of weeks, and they said their household is back to normal and it's a peaceful place. And for just one simple thing, they tried it. I mean, people have to be smart and do some research and experiment a bit on their own at their own house and watch the results and keep track of how they're feeling. Like you said, also this family who changed their diet once a week, but they noticed on their own that they were starting to feel better. So we're smart enough on our own to view our own bodily responses, and I think we have to take kind of back that knowledge and that power that, okay, I can make decision on my own. I can make observation on my own of how my body's feeling and make my choices, you know, from that. So I think it's a question of trusting ourselves again and making good choices and just making common sense. I think that's a good one too.
Well, the only problem that I see with that, girls, is the fact that it's very rare that anyone, whether it's a child or a grown-up or a very old person, it doesn't seem to matter. We're not real good at seeing our own flaws. So when we are reacting to something, unless somebody else pays attention and notices it, and since we're just talking about kids, because I give up trying to fix grown-ups, even though I know that started.
Sure.
But, you know, if you have a child in your house and say you have a dinner one night with a good home-cooked dinner, right? But it's got ground beef bought at Winn-Dixie. And if you take it and sit it in the sink and put it in cold water, all the dye will come seeping out of it.
Oh, boy.
And if you... Oh, so, I mean, if you are preparing it, you know that there's stuff. I won't buy any kind of meat from a couple different stores because I've tested all the meats. I live with a family of meat eaters. I'm a vegetarian. They are not. But careful. But my point here is that you are observing the children. You see a difference after your kid consumes your dinner. Chances are there's something in the dinner that you gave him that wasn't so great for his metabolism and his makeup. So you have to start weeding through those things. That's your job as a parent.
Exactly.
Now, the schools, I don't know. I think schools are there's so much red tape to go through with them. And just like everything else that is run by the government, Sally has to sign it, Joe has to sign it, Mary has to sign it twice, and then Robert has to sign it three times and have it notarized before anything can happen. So, but again, if we just do what we can do in our own homes, if you're concerned about what your kids are eating in school, and you've been to the lunchroom, and you've seen that they're loved. I went with Austin when Austin was five. I met him in the lunchroom. You were told you could come have lunch with your kid. Started kindergarten. I show up. Here comes my little boy, proud as a peacock because he's gotten his own tray and everything. He had a boiled hot dog on a hot dog roll and a thing of milk.
Yep.
Nothing else.
No,
and I said, honey, didn't the lady ask you if you wanted anything for your hot dog? Don't you want any, you know, any potato salad or any coleslaw? Or no, Graham, no, this is good, you know. And I thought to myself, why didn't somebody say, you know, I mean, this is his third day at school.
Yeah.
For the first time in his life. So if we look at all of this realistically, everything that you are sharing with us tonight, and I'm going to ask you some really kind of heavy questions about behavior and stuff like that, too, because I think I have a few people that I know are listening tonight that are really, really struggling with anger issues with kids and stuff like that. Now, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, too, but I want to say that if we just take charge ourselves, You know, if you want something done right, sometimes you just got to do it yourself. Let's face it. So if you want to start making the little changes that Shelley and Linda have both suggested, that will be awesome. But the real job that you have here is by observing your child and seeing what happens if you go to the fair and you give him or her cotton candy. And the rest of the night they go between crying and bouncing off the walls. You probably shouldn't be giving that kid cotton candy. Now, some kids have, you know, you could give them cotton candy, a candy apple, and, you know, s'mores all night long. And they might put on weight, but they're not, their personality isn't going to change.
True.
So the things I'm talking about are the things that have to show some sense. What parent would take a kid out on rides and do all that stuff and let them have all that sugar and everything and expect them to go to sleep that night and be ready to go to school the next day?
Mm.
They're going to have a hangover, everybody. They're
oh,
gonna
I
have
know.
A hangover.
We would. I do.
That's
I've
right.
noticed. I notice it if I
yes.
eat really weird one night. The next day, half of my day is wasted and feeling
yes.
like fog.
And that's
yep.
what happens
yep.
to the children as well.
Yep.
They have hangovers, just like you can equate with 3 martinis. That's what they're going to have the next day.
Yep.
So the point, though, that has me worried is, like, at Hippocrates, people used to come to me and say, oh, I can't eat this, even off of the buffet at Hippocrates. I can't have this. And I say, then don't eat it. Or they say, I'm going to go home. I live in Minnesota. There's no way I can eat ice-cold vegetables, refrigerated salads all the time. I said, make yourself cabbage soup. Can I do that? And I said, why can't you?
Yeah.
Cabbage soup is awesome. And it'll keep you warm. Don't fill it with garbage. Make it with cabbage, some good water. You could even put some scallions or something like that in it. Make yourself some cabbage soup for that warm feeling. And there's no reason, unless you're a diehard raw foodie, that any of your vegetables have to be raw.
Mm-hmm.
You can steam your vegetables. You can make creamy soup out of delicious squashes and things like that. You can make delicious food without ever using anything that didn't come out of your garden.
Yep, truly.
So,
well, that's a lot of the Ayurvedic meals come from. A lot of the Ayurvedic menu is cooked, and it's also a very healthy option for people, you know, because you're getting a little bit more of the cooked grains and things like that, you know, and it's some people do better with that in the vegetarian genres we're talking about, but more the percentage of the food is cooked, and some people do better with the higher level of more cooked food.
Yeah, and it's like the macrobiotic as well. I mean, you know, you cook and you eat as per your season and even your longitude and your latitude on the globe. People on the equator would have mangoes and pineapples, and we up north would probably, I know we don't do well with that all winter long. We need grains and root vegetables, and so it makes sense to eat
at a higher start.
As your body type sometimes, as your the place on your planet and the season and whatnot. So I think I've kind of gotten past the, at my age, I've been through it at all, but I've gotten past the labeling of diets. I got kind of tired of that, being labeled as a certain type of food person or a type of diet. I mean, there's way too much variety and variation and, you know, fluctuation in our lives to be stuck to one or the other. And I love the term flexitarian now. That's kind of
yeah, I do too.
That's kind of a good one. Otherwise, people would do the table with me at a dinner or party, and then, oh, do you eat this? Then I'd have to send the, you know, spend. Okay, well, sometimes I do that, but then sometimes I do that, and depending on this, I do that instead. And it's like, why do I do this? This is ridiculous. I'm a flexitarian. But now I understand that means you eat red meat too, which I don't. But still, I think it covers it a little bit better than being labeled one thing or another that I can't really do anymore. So I think that's really important for people, but there's just so many things.
I'd like to address the anger issue, and then Linda, I would like you to kind of expound on it and tell me if you're of the same mind or if you have something in addition to say. But one of the things I had done when I was studying meat eating, and I had even done an article about this, is that a lot of the anger issues among children and even among some adults, but we're talking about children right now, is because of the high, high steroid levels in meat, in non-organically grown meat, all right, factory farm meat. And they really, because kids are going through hormonal fluctuations on their own, so that plays a role in it because it's like roid rage. It's almost like they're being overdosed with steroids, and their bodies are growing, and that's one of the things that causes young girls and young boys to develop at much earlier ages than they used to. Okay, you're having boys now getting hair on their face at 10 and 11 years old, and girls growing breasts at 10 years old and starting their menstruation. And a lot of this is because of the steroids and the growth hormones that mess with them. And it can cause anger just like roid rage would for like a bodybuilder, you know.
Yeah,
so that's one of the issues creating anger among young people. And if the parents, and if they're not interested in going vegetarian, then just look to going free-range meat. Then get away from the factory farm, because now you don't have the steroids and you don't have the growth hormones that you do in regular factory farm meat.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Mm. Yeah, and I believe it. And I, you know, and there were times as well. And Shelley, you're really very knowledgeable, and you share some beautiful information about the Essene approach to things, but I think that I've felt and I've seen, and maybe not, I couldn't put a scientific study to it, but heavy meat eaters, I think, might have a bit of a, maybe I shouldn't say that, maybe not.
Go ahead and say it.
But there's that perhaps, and it might be because of the hormones and all of this, but the way that there's a subtle energy in things, you know, and the way that animals are killed now is so violent, and there's so much terror, I believe, in an animal before it goes to slaughter. And it's just horrific the way animals in general, I mean, there are some ways that they're slaughtered more humanely, put it to that word, but the factory farms and the factory slaughterhouses now are just, from what I've heard and sometimes seen, out of control. It's just out of control, horrific, and
they're
animals
worse now than ever. Right?
The animals are, because before it was at the farm. Okay, we have chickens. We're going to kill our chickens. Okay, we do it in our backyard. We have a calf. We're going to go kill the calf, and we're going to make meat. And it's a whole kind of a different world right now for these poor animals. And the terror that they feel, I believe it gets into the meat. I believe it gets into their muscles, and we somehow through some etheric reality that I can't quantify, but we absorb what we eat. We absorb also the vibrational.
That is the only reason, to be honest with you, that I don't go back to any kind of meat. Right? Everything you just said, because I don't even remember how it came to me, whether somebody planted that seed with me or what, but I watched an HBO special a couple of years ago where a woman who had major challenges, and she watched them leading the cattle to slaughter and how they had to walk around this circle and how angry they got and how they jabbed them with these big pokers to keep them in the line, and it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And she watched, she was autistic, and she watched, and she came up with a way for them to do that was very humane. And when they were brought, when it was time to, you know, to end their life, they, you know, nobody was being mean to them to do it. It was very humane. And I thought to myself, in several instances in this movie, they would show a close-up of a cow's face with a look in their eyes that I've seen on people that are afraid, that I've seen on young kids that look at me like, please help me right now.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, how can you not get some of that if you eat the meat from that animal. Now, whether or not you do, like you said, I don't have any scientific proof of that. And I guess there's probably stuff out there written that might be about that that I could delve into, but I truly don't want to know any more about it. The way I feel about it is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes, but
there is one book that handles it very, very well. John Robbins, his original book that was published like almost 40 years ago now, called Diet for a New America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know about Diet for a New America.
Okay. Yeah. So in that book was the I've read it in other books, but that was the first book that I had read it in. He actually talks about when you're as a human being, and everybody knows this, when you feel fear or sadness, you release hormones. You release hormones that are actually harmful to you. That's why people that are sad or fearful for a long time get sick, okay, because their body is actually poisoning them. Well, when these animals that are raised on factory farms, they live in misery, so they're constantly releasing these harmful hormones, and then they're slaughtered in a way that's horrifying to them. They release those type of hormones. That doesn't cook out of the meat. So
no.
When you eat the animals that are, I mean, this is scientific, that's what you were saying, and he covers it in the book. He talks about it, the fact that we are vibrational people. If you walk into a room and you stand in front of somebody that's very, very angry, they don't have to say anything to you. You feel it from them. Isn't that true? I mean, don't we
right
all know that?
My muscles tense right up when I have a fear.
Right. Because we are vibrational, we do pick up on this from other people. Okay? So what happens is it's the same thing with the animal kingdom. When these animals are slaughtered and you eat the meat from them, it messes with you. Because you are actually taking in all of those hormones, the fear hormones, the sadness hormones, the misery hormones, and then you digest that. How is it not going to affect people negatively? I mean, think about it in a big picture whole realm, you know. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, there was a few pages where he addressed that, and it just made so much sense to me. In fact, that was the book that made me decide to go vegetarian. I thought it was so well written. He was very kind. The way he wrote it, very informative, and it just made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and we can see that if you have the stomach for it, anybody listening, you can watch the movie Eating, the second half of the movie really shows how that whole, what we've just been talking about, if you can sit through it. I could not, but that's something to, you know, inform people of really what goes on. So I think for the anger issues, that's one of them, but even think of our own selves. For example, if I'm not careful, I get hypoglycemia. I know how to regulate, I know how to keep track of it and make sure that I don't fall into that state. However, sometimes it happens. If I'm on the road or if I haven't been taking care and, okay, I'm out and I eat something sweet and then maybe I have a cup of coffee on top of that and then I have something sweet again or I don't have anything to balance out right away within, you know, all of a sudden it'll hit me, my hypoglycemic thing. I'll get nervous, I'll get antsy, I'll get like, oh, don't talk to me, you know, my teeth grit together, and it's like I need food, I need to get to some real food right away and get out of my way because I need to do this. I know how I feel and I know what to do. But for kids who don't understand this interior tenseness and electricity that's going through them, what are they going to do? They're going to act out. They might want to punch somebody. They might want to push somebody. They might want to yell at somebody. And they don't know how to find relief from that or calm that energy down or balance that energy within. They don't know how to. So what happens? They act out. They lash out. And then, of course, the adult that's nearby will lash back at them and will tell them, you better stop that right now or you're going to go in your room or you're going to be punished or you're going to be this, you're going to be that. And then the fight escalates and then it's this whole spiral that just goes up until everybody's miserable or crying or is being punished or is being hurt, you know. So there's some
exactly.
real balance things that if we can be aware of them and understand, and I understood that in my own kids because I could tell if they were that way, and if, okay, all of a sudden my son was being a putz and being just not responsive, just answering wrong, or it's like, what's up with you? Okay, you didn't eat, did you? Did you? What did you do? You know, I questioned about the food. Okay, here, eat this, and then, okay, boom, he calms down. So you get to know your kids. You get to know your kids' things. Same thing with He would always fall into this kind of mild depression in February, March, January, February, March, and his grades would go down, and he wouldn't, you know, it was like he didn't want to answer, and he's like, no answer, and don't bug me, and I don't care, and Well, he, you know, every year it was like that. He had that seasonal affective disorder because of, you know, the lack of light and whatnot. And as soon as springtime came around, then he'd pick up and wake up, and he'd be back again in his own self, and his grades would pick up, and he'd finish the year really well. But, you know, you can keep an eye on your kids and understand what are their triggers, and try not to feed into those attitudes or those behaviors of theirs, and try to understand, okay, why is my child acting like this? When my grandson was acting out and being just not too helpful or responsive or responding in the way we wished he would, you know, I told my daughter, well, listen, part of what he's going on right now, it's his attitude. Yeah, the kid's got an attitude. I know his mother did when she was young too, so we know that about him. But at the same time, there are some things that right now what I'm seeing is that he can't really help that response he's giving you right now, you know, because of certain things. It's the end of the season. It's the end of the cycle. He's exhausted from school. He's fed up. There's some bullies at school who are on his ass. And, they're, you know, there's a lot of pressure right now for this child because of so many things going on. So, you know, deal with what we know is his attitude thing. But also there are other things that we can help support and try to remove that pressure from our kids. There's so much pressure for them right now, too. My goodness.
So right, I agree.
You know, watching your kids, all of these different things can be helpful, dietary and just understanding. There's also some really cool things, important things like the omega fatty acids. I think there's a lot of things that can help calm our brains down by feeding them proper fats that are in flaxseed oil and hemp oil. You can add that to smoothies and things. At a little bit at a time, or so they don't notice it, and they don't get a reaction from it. That's this is no good, and you know you try to not get a reaction right away because then it's over for a long time. Also, the blue green algaes are awesome for brain functioning and proper brain functioning, and also to help keep the brain clear and help them in school and even for us as adults. I remember, Rini, when we were working together, my brain was like, I couldn't handle all of the input and all the things that needed to be done at once. And I realized that I had been neglecting my brain food, so I got back on my blue-green algaes and my omega fatty acids with the hemp oils and the chlorella and things like that. And within a couple of days, 2 days, 3 days, whew, I was back. I was able to handle all the crises and get my work done and focus on things I needed to write, and I was coherent again and calm. So we notice these things so quickly in our own selves. So there's some really good superfoods that are awesome for kids to help with brain and keep them calm and focused, and things like hemp and, again, the blue-green algae and whatnot. Those are really, really good things to help them, to add them to their diet. There's a lot of great recipes out there that you can look into as well to make snacks with these things. And also even the Bach flower remedies. Those are pretty interesting. That's the kind of also there again, we're getting into the vibrational theories of plants and their essences. Those are interesting. It's interesting how they work, and I don't know how they work, but I know they work on me. And the rescue remedy is interesting, and a lot of the other plants that give off their essence to help with a specific mood disorder or weakness or fatigue or stress or whatever. That's fascinating stuff. And homeopathy is another really good one, too, for, you know, seasonal fatigue and apathy and anger and things like that. It's surprising, but these things do work. And they're you know, they're not harmful to the body. So it's good to add these things as you're doing research to get the kids back on track. And even for adults, every time we say kids, it's the adults, it's the same thing, you know.
Right. Well, one of the points that you made, which I thought was outstanding, was that you as an adult and you as somebody who is aware of how your body reacts to different foods, because you're a very consistent type of person, when you're off, you realize that it's from some external source. You ate something, you're around something that you're sensitive to, you know. So your mind will go there. I'm the same way, okay, because I'm a very consistent person. So when I'm feeling off, if I'm feeling angry or sad, and something just didn't happen, you know, and all of a sudden I'm just starting to feel awful, you know, I know when I eat things that aren't that great for me. And so the minute I start not feeling good, I realize it's from that. I realize it's temporary, so I don't respond to it. You know, I don't react to it. I just kind of say, okay, within an hour or so I'll feel fine, or I drink some water, or I take something that's going to counteract it, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, kids don't know that, and a lot of parents don't know that. So the whole scenario laid out is so precise, and I wanted to kind of readdress that because I want a lot of people to understand that. It really is helpful to just get a little knowledgeable. You don't have to read 100 books. You don't have to become an expert, but understand a little bit more, as a parent I'm talking about now, understand a little bit more how diet can really, cause wild mood swings for your child, and then help the child to understand if they were feeling good a minute ago and now they're not, you know, really understand that it's temporary. If it's coming from the food, it's temporary, you're going to be okay, but maybe we have to look for something else as an alternative for you that now. And make it be a project. Get the kid involved in looking for other things, you know. Say,
yeah,
let's go to the store and try some other things now to replace that, because every time you eat it, you don't feel so good afterwards, you know.
Yep.
And they can actually make it like a family activity.
They respond to that surprisingly very well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Well, and I think kids like your attention, period. Let's don't forget that. Let's
True.
Don't forget how much we talk about that. And the fact that they have your attention often is a big part of everything that we're talking about. You know, do you think it would be possible, Linda, for you to put together something and put it on my Facebook page, some of the things that you talked about tonight? I don't want you to go crazy because I know you're super busy. But if you could put just a couple little things that you think would benefit, especially the really young kids, like some of the Rescue Remedy, some of the other things that you mentioned, and anything that you think would be a real, starter-upper for some of the things that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
obviously we know about the sugar. If there's anything else that you can think of that would be beneficial. The what?
The brain foods that Linda mentioned, that would be great to have like a list of like the specific brain foods that help a child or an adult.
Right,
well,
sure, absolutely. I can do that for sure. I'd be happy to.
And maybe, you know, like when you talk about blue-green algae and some of those kind of things, a lot of people out there in the outside world don't have a clue what blue-green algae is.
Mm-hmm.
I was
very
at a
good
very
little video
big
that
party.
Shows the colors and everything.
Yeah.
I'll send that video to you, Renee, and you can put that on your Facebook.
Okay. That would be great. Because I think, you know, like I had, I went to a Spanish 15-year-old party this weekend with a lot of the family. And there was absolutely nothing there that I could eat, by the way. I had a few black beans and rice. Everything else was pork and steak and chicken. I mean, mounds of it, mounds and mounds of it, right? And one of the father who I watched grow up said to me, did you like everything? And I said, sweetie, I this. You've been to my house. I don't eat meat anymore. And he goes, oh, I always forget about that. He said, you used to be the one that did all the cooking of the meat. I still am, but I just don't eat it anymore. And he said, well, and he's a bodybuilder. And he says, how am I going to get all my protein?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the infamous question, you know, the first one everybody asks. And, of course, we talked about that at length. But the big thing that I wanted to address tonight is about how the nourishment that we get from food can affect the behavior of all of us.
Mm.
And if you are watching a child whose behavior changes after, say your child has a cold and you start giving them Tylenol with the red dye in it, and the fever goes down, but the kid is crying every 5 minutes or angry or gets mad or whatever, you might want to make sure that you don't buy Tylenol anymore with red dye in it or anything else with the red dye in it. Little simple things that we can do that will make a difference. I want to thank you guys we will definitely do this again because, as you can see, this is a very big topic.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll put some stuff on Facebook that will help some of these folks. And, of course, you're all welcome to call me or message me on Facebook if you have private questions that you want to ask me. But I want to thank Linda for joining us tonight. Linda lives in Canada and has been a very good friend of mine and Shelley's for a very long time. And she's got some wonderful stuff out there. So I'm going to ask her to start sending me stuff like that, too, so I can let you all know. She's got some videos out and stuff like that, that might be beneficial if you're thinking about changing your lifestyle.
And I can also offer, if people wanted to email me, they can do so, and I'll be happy to spend time with them or give them some tips or ideas. That would be linda@healthyeasygreen.com.
We just went off. They're still recording, but most of the people will have probably already left the site. But I want you to put that on Facebook to my page.
I will.
And then we'll let everybody see that, and I'll make sure everybody knows that. So thank you, my darlings. We'll make a date to do this again very soon, Linda.
Put it onto your page. It's not just like sending you a regular message, right? How do I do this?
You could just post it to my page. Get on my page and put it on my home page.
I just do message and then I send you a message.
That would be fine. That would be fine. All right, and then I can make sure everybody has the information. So we'll do this again. As soon as you think you can recoup and are up for it again, let me know and I'll put you on the schedule because I think that people will have a lot more questions after listening to everything that was said tonight.
Beautiful. Okay, did you see how many listeners were on? Did you notice that?
On my board there was only 5, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of other people online. That's what most of them do. They listen to it on their computer.
Awesome, great. Well, thank you so much.
Honey, it was our pleasure. It was great to have you on. It was just always so nice to hear your very sweet, relaxed, kind voice. That's always a plus.
Thank you.
It was great for me too, Linda. It was so good.
Well, hopefully I'll see you guys soon, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll do this again, and I'll put some things together for you. Okay, Renee?
All right. Awesome.
Okay,
thank you very much, my dear. So, everybody, from my heart to yours, this is Renee saying good night, love you, and God bless. Good night, Shell.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Renee. Good night, Linda.
Good night.